This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Deluxe double-sized edition, episode 300 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. I would think it would be triple-sized.
I mean, 300, I guess. I get what you're going with, the power of three. It is the magic number.
Unfortunately, yeah, if you came here looking for, you know, scantily clad men, oiled up, ripped muscles, you won't find that here.
No, gosh, not at all. No.
We talked about it, but we had a wardrobe change at the last minute and decided that, you know, we're just not ready for that kind of thing.
Yeah, no,
you don't want to see that. We don't want to see that.
It's no full Monty going on here. That's for
no,
sure.
No leather loincloths. We are not the 300 that way.
Yeah. But I watched some shows and stuff and a couple few movies. But kind of like you said before we started, we got some, I think, more heavily on the news and trailer side. But I don't think this is going to be a super deluxe, ultra long edition of What Did You Watch this week?
Oh, so that means it'll be 5 hours, because every time we think it's not going to be long, it ends up being long.
I guess we'll find out when we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Bob. We sure will. So what'd you watch this week for shows and stuff and things?
Did you watch any of Reacher this week?
The first three episodes.
All right. So I had watched all of them.
Okay.
I have finished them off. I can't remember if I think I've watched the last episode after we recorded.
Yes. You said you were gonna.
Yeah, I did. What did you think of the first three?
So mixed feelings. For one, it's very enjoyable. Both of us are really enjoying it.
Yep.
The main character there is great eye candy for either one of us. But I will say, like, from a writing standpoint, he's fucking ridiculous. Like, he just knows everything and he can do everything. You know, he's a master marksman. He's super strong. He's super tough. He knows all the clues to all the everything. He can just look at a footprint and he's like, oh, I know exactly who that was. And see here, he pivoted on this foot. Yeah, he's too much. Like it's almost like he was written by a high schooler who was like, I'm going to make the coolest, badassest guy in the world. Like, he has no flaws.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it's a little bit disjointing. But if you just want to sit back and enjoy it, it's a popcorn show. Fucking awesome. Loving it. Loving watching him kick people's asses. His pithy lines, you know, like you had mentioned last week, the whole, you know, I'm going to break three kids' hands. There's four of us. Well, one of you has got to drive to the hospital. You know, the show is just filled with those snappy little zinger one-liner comebacks. Watching him go at the lead detective, who I loved him in iZombie as also the lead detective. So he's been typecast there. Watching him go at him, giving him the what for and telling him, you know, in his cool, calm, collected way that you're an idiot. It's fun. It would never fly in the real world. It's completely unrealistic, but it's fun as fuck.
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head.
So yeah, if you're going into this thinking, you know, I'm going to get a gritty, realistic cop drama. No, you're going to get a fun fucking almost 80s throwback kind of thing. And it's fucking great for that.
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Yeah. So that's why I'm excited to watch more. Like, we've devoured three episodes and I think we're going to get more in this week. And though we're recording on Tuesday night, for those who don't know, it's February 15th, so the day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I had to work.
Yeah. But you guys, I'm sure, will make it up at some point. Not necessarily like, oh, here's our Valentine's makeup, but I can imagine you guys will go out to a dinner or something like that.
Well, we're actually going away this weekend.
Aw. Is it going to be a sweet romantic getaway or?
I mean, no, we're just going to
a shagging cabin.
Basically, yeah.
Nice, leaving the kids behind.
Yep, just Kate and awesome. I going to Freeport, and that's about it.
Nice, yep. I like it. I approve.
Yep, we're gonna walk around and get some food, and we try to find a crappy movie on the TV.
Nice. Do you have any crappy movies in mind, or is it going to be one of those just like, let's see what crap fest is on?
No, it's literally like, what is on TV? Like, nice. What can we find on the old TV? Because we have no idea what else is on. Like, that's part of the fun. Because, like, we were talking to our friends the other night, the Browns, because we were at their place. And, you know, they were saying that, they were talking about how, like, they bring, like, their Roku stick with them, like, when mm-hmm. they go away, so you just plug it into their TV.
Yep. And I used to do that with a PS5.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, it's like, well, you know what? Part of the fun is just going and finding something to watch.
Sure.
You know Absolutely. What I mean? Like, because if you think about it, when you sit down with the Roku, you get on Netflix, you get on this service, you get on this service, you get on this service. Unless you're like, unless like this Friday, for instance, okay? Mm-hmm. Was it the 18th? Texas Chainsaw Massacre is on Netflix. I know I want to watch that. Kate's not going to want to watch it, but I know I want to watch that. So unless it's one of those scenarios
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, there's a specific movie we definitely want to watch, then you waste more time trying to find something to watch than not. Whereas yes. suppose if you have a finite amount of channels to view.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know? I was going to say that was my caveat too, is if we were going away for a weekend back when we were still, you know, mm-hmm. canoodling separately, we would basically like, oh, hey, here's three movies that we want to watch this weekend. Then yeah, I'd bring the PS5 so that we could watch those movies or play a game or something like that.
Yep.
But, if it was not going to happen that way, you know, if it was like, oh, I don't really know, then we'd spin the dice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, so like, it depends like what they have for channels, at the hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause we don't always have the same channels everywhere. They might have HBO for all I know. So it just depends on what's on. And what we can find to watch.
Nice.
And it is nice because it does limit what we can watch and what we're kind of stuck to. And
well, it also makes it so that your whole trip isn't revolving around the TV.
Correct.
You know, you're not like, oh, we've got these three movies that we want to pack in. You're like, well, you know, when we get back from our adventures, we'll just see what's going on.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. It's like, all right, we're back at the hotel now. What are we going to watch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's again, that's part of the fun.
Absolutely.
So, like, for instance, the if they have HBO at the hotel, I think the Kingsman debuts this week.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I want to watch that.
Yeah, the Kingsman.
Yeah. But that means that I got to get Julia caught up because, you know, she hasn't seen either of the originals.
Well, then she needs to.
Yes, she does. Mike says you need to. The Kingsman.
Do it.
Do it.
Slamming my fist on the table. So, yeah. But that's part of the fun. It's just finding a random movie to watch. Like, that's worked out well for us in the past. I like at a cabin once we stayed at, the Breakfast Club was on. We both seen it 100 times, but it's like we enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
When we were in Connecticut, Jaws was on. She'd never seen Jaws before.
So that's a good way to experience it.
Jaws was like on AMC or something. So we put Jaws on, you know, and we watched it. So it was, makes it fun.
Yeah.
So you started a show that I was watching or had watched. Mm-hmm. So I started a show that you've been watching.
Ooh, I was going to ask.
The After Party.
Oh, how far in are you?
Two episodes.
What do you think so far?
I enjoy the hell out of it to the point where I told Kate I think she would really like it. So hopefully she'll catch up so we can watch the third episode together this week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We watched the whatever the most recent one. I think it's the fifth episode. And it keeps getting. I'm not even going to say any more because.
Yep. I like what, you know, you see it from the different points of view. Like the first episode, we got two points of view because one of them was very brief. Mm-hmm. But it's like when the guy's saying, you know, in the second episode, like in the first episode, the guy pulls up next from the car and I can't say anything now. My wife just walked in. But like, you know, he's saying a word. And in the second episode, we get his point of view, but he's actually saying a completely different word, which changes the context of everything.
For those who want the translation, because she can't hear me, I'm assuming. He in the first episode, he's saying, you know, I'm going to fucking kill you all. I'm going to fucking kill you all. And then when we see it from his point of view, he was trying to get his daughter's koala that this guy had put in his pocket. So he's saying, where's the koala? Koala, instead of kill you all.
Right.
And I love that they acknowledged it, too. And they're like, oh, that's what he was saying. Oh, OK.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying it. I look forward to watching more episodes. It's a really neat concept. And mm-hmm.
Excellent. I'm so glad you like it.
Yeah.
I look forward to talking more about it when you get caught up. And yeah, I think Kate would like it, too.
I can't talk about 1883. Because we had watched all the episodes that had aired when we recorded last week. And there was an episode that was on this past Sunday. And because of the Super Bowl on Sunday and then me working the double yesterday, we haven't had time to watch it yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there's that. Let's see here.
I watched three more episodes of Murderville.
How'd that treat you?
So the first episode was Conan O'Brien. It was funny. It was fun. Kind of like I got the hang of what the show was. It was like, oh, okay, this is how it works. The next one was Marshawn Williams, football player. And I got to tell you, this guy – sorry, I had to take some pills. This guy jumped in with both feet to the improv game. Like, he fucking brought it to the point where at one point a guy comes out with a baseball bat and Marshawn fucking grabbed him and threw him down on a couch. Like, he no holds barred. He jumped right in. He was so much fun to watch.
Oh, nice.
The next episode was Kumail Nanjiani, and he was fucking hilarious. Like, they picked on him bad and got him to do some stuff that was just ridiculous, but he did it. He went along with all of it, but like, he'd do it so well sometimes that it would break them up. It's funny to watch the people that are supposed to be serious, like trying not to lose their shit. So that was a great one. The third one that we watched, which is the fourth episode, was Annie Murphy, who plays Alexis on Schitt's Creek. And honestly, it was okay, but it really wasn't as good as the other ones. Like, it was a little weak. She didn't really have great improv skills. I don't know. It just, we both came out of it. We were like, eh, that wasn't that great. We're excited about it because, you know, she's great on Schitt's Creek, but eh. So we've only got two episodes left, which are Sharon Stone and Ken Jeong.
Okay.
Guess which one I'm more looking forward to.
Sharon Stone, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Most of the shows weren't on. Mm-hmm. This Is Us, The Conners, The Rookie, because of the Olympics.
Right. Oh, is that why? I figured it was just an off week.
I'm assuming it's the Olympics. I mean,
I didn't even realize the Olympics were on.
Yeah, we've had like a solid week of the Olympics already.
I'm still readjusting to the fact that I don't have cable TV, so I don't see commercials normally.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I have been meaning to ask you that. Now that it's been like 4 months,
mm-hmm.
How's that treating you?
Perfectly fine. Like, I've got my set shows that I watch, but honestly, between working from home, hanging out with Julia, and doing our own little stuff, like my TV used to be on all the time and now it's hardly ever on. Like, unless we're sitting down to watch something, like I don't have it on and I don't really miss it. when it does, you know, I would sit there and just mindlessly surf through the channels or just put something on in the background.
Yeah.
Now it's like I sit down to watch a show. I do still have some background shows that I'll like put an episode on while I'm playing a game or something, you know, put it on my iPad. But honestly, like I don't notice these things, but I also like what we were just pointing out here, you know, I miss things like local ads. So I don't know what's going on for sales in my neighborhood.
Sure.
And I don't know that the Olympics are on, and I'm probably missing out on newer shows or stuff that's releasing, because I know that that was a big thing, was, you know, seeing a commercial for coming soon to NBC. And, you know, occasionally you'll get those bumps if you watch something on Peacock, but if you're not actively watching something, then you don't see it. So I've got to rely on like some of my news sites to be like, hey, just so you know, this show's coming on in 3 months and hopefully you remember it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have been I'm almost 10 years cable free now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, I've been divorced 10 years this year in April from my first wife.
Ooh, good save.
So I haven't had cable that long. But I have where I live now, which I've lived now will be 6 years this year. Like my antenna gets 25 channels now. So I get all the local channels on my antenna. And so I actually, like, with watching local news or whatever, I am getting like some of the bumpers and commercials and this and that and everything. And it's like, I work from home today because I had to do some, I had lead interviews and everything. And so during my lunch break, I put it on the TV and Grace Under Fire was on, like, Laugh. And I was like, I haven't seen this. I haven't even thought about this show in 20 years or better.
Damn.
I watched an episode and it really got me thinking about like the Carsey Warner shows, like during that time frame. All his shows were like comedies featuring a comedian
mm-hmm.
as like the lead. And also they were untraditional plots or storylines or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Like they did. Oh, they were responsible for like, say, Grand, Roseanne, The Cosby Show, Different World, Grace Under Fire, Sybil, Townies, that 80s show, Grounded for Life, the 70s show, Normal Ohio. But yeah, during that mid to late 90s time frame, they were doing all kinds of shows like that.
Well, okay, hold on. You're saying mid to late 90s, but you included things like Roseanne and The Cosby Show. Those were on in the 80s.
Well, yeah, but Roseanne was – The Cosby Show was 84 to 92. Roseanne was 88 to 97.
Okay.
Yeah. I threw The Cosby Show in there because most people probably recognize that more than anything.
And maybe not for good reason.
Well, yeah, probably not. Oh, they did Third Rock from the Sun too, by the way.
Awesome. Big giant head.
Yeah. But yeah, so they were doing very untraditional things. So. But anywho, so did you watch Cobra Kai?
I did.
Yeah. How many episodes do we have left? Two?
Something like that.
Should just finish it this week and get over it.
Yes, I think so. I will say I was glad to see that Daniel's son is finally being called out after he didn't really lie to his dad, but he kind of failed to tell the truth.
Yep.
Because his dad's like, oh, this kid's giving you trouble from Cobra Kai. You don't have to put up with that. He's like, yeah, he's trouble. And then the principal's like, yeah, your son's been beating him up and chasing him around the halls for weeks. And your son's a little thug. And we're suspending him. Which I was happy to say.
Yeah, as they should have. Let's see here. What's the other show? Johnny's going to tell Miguel about him banging his mom.
Yeah, and then starts playing favorites with him.
Yep.
Over at Cobra Kai, they're talking about weakness You know, everybody's got a weakness. Find their weakness. And Silver says that Kreese has a weakness. And Kreese doesn't like that. You remember I pulled you out of that hole. And you're nothing without me, and I'll destroy you. Do you think Silver's going to turn on him?
Yeah.
Ooh. Now, do you think he's going to turn on him and take over Cobra Kai, or do you think he's going to turn on him and help the other two?
He's going to take over Cobra Kai. He's going to become the real villain. And then somehow next season, Kreese has to work with Johnny and Daniel to fight Terry Silver.
And they'll bring back the kid from Karate Kid 3? That seems Daniel had to fight?
Seems most likely.
Yeah, they'll bring him back, and they'll bring Hillary Swank in, and just to kind of round it all out. Did I lose you?
Yeah, I hit the mute button. Sorry.
Okay.
Let's see, what else did they do? They start weapons training, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
They start training with weapons because that's going to be one of the categories in the All Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle Fang's got a new female student.
Yep. And Johnny really likes her.
Yep.
Because she basically, like, she's watched Bloodsport and Kickboxer and so she knows what he's talking about, which he really digs. You know, Johnny's all about that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you're my kind of people.
Let's see here. Daniel's son tries to get back at the kid he's been bullying. Instead, him and his buddies get beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Chased away
because he basically uses like hit and run tactics.
And this episode does end with, you know, Kreese and Silver like at each other because they have different philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to how Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang have different philosophies.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, maybe out of this we'll end up with two Cobra Kais.
We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yep.
All right. That was that.
That sure was. Nobody can deny it. Nobody can say that wasn't that.
I'm not gonna lie. I really enjoyed the show when it first started, but it's losing me this season.
It really does feel like this season needed to be binged. Like, that's not always the case with a show, but I feel like this one, it really needed to be, like, devoured all at once, because otherwise you start seeing the cracks and the breaks in it. Does that make sense?
Yes, you're right. It does. Yes, I think you're right. This definitely should be... should have been binged. And we have three episodes to go, so we should just watch those last three and be done with it.
Absolutely.
What else did you watch, sir?
Resident Alien.
Go on. I enjoyed it.
I did as well. It definitely, this was one of those, if this had been a sitcom or, like you said, one of the Carsey Werner shows, this would have been a very special episode kind of thing, in my opinion, because it really had I don't want to say an agenda because that makes it sound evil, but it definitely had like a strong focus on the women of the town all getting together and having the girls' night and then discovering that they're all underpaid compared to men. And that's something, of course, that's happening everywhere, even as we speak. So it really focused on them, you know, coming to that realization, realizing that the mayor has something to do with it, that, you know, he could be changing it, he could be fixing it. And then finally trying to do something about it by hanging up flyers. They couldn't do that. So then Darcy just starts chucking the flyers out of a helicopter. I'm sure that that's not littering, you know? I'm sure that that's...
That absolutely is littering.
But I get their frustration. I get their, you know, desire for this kind of thing, this equality.
Yep.
you had the mayor who basically wanted to tell his wife that him and Darcy kissed, made out a little while ago.
They just did some necking.
The advice that he got from the sheriff was so over the top. I actually did laugh out loud because the sheriff's just like, yeah, I want you to go home. I want you to go down to the mall. Find that guy who writes your name on a grain of rice. Give him a bullet. Have him write that on there. And then you take that home and you put a what did he say? Put a thick book upside your head and then put the gun on the other side. Then pull the trigger. That way it doesn't it'll make it about halfway through the book and it doesn't splatter all over the place and make a big mess for me to clean up later on. Because that's basically what you'd be doing if you told your wife that you made out with that woman.
Yeah, that was like, good.
Wow, that is over the top, but hilarious. So, yeah, they're basically the guys are all giving the advice, you know, don't tell her. Well, if she finds out from somebody other than him, she's going to be much more pissed off than if she finds out from him. They're thinking, oh, if she never finds out, it's good. Yes, but Darcy has a huge mouth and everyone in that town gossips like crazy. So it is absolutely to his benefit to tell her. No good is going to come of this.
Here's the deal. It's not – the people go – people will say like, well, it's not lying. You're just withholding information. It's still being untruthful.
Yeah. It's called a lie of omission.
It's still being deceptive.
Yep.
Well, I just didn't tell him the whole truth. Doesn't matter. Does not matter at all.
We also had the kids doing their thing where the little girl has figured out that it was the steel orb that her little buddy stole from the alien that is making him go into puberty prematurely. It's basically raising all of his testosterone levels. So he's getting facial hair and he's getting, you know, his voice is dropping and he's getting his swag on. And
when he said, hey, baby, how's it going? To her, something like that. I enjoyed her reaction to that.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty awesome.
But she figured it out, and she basically went and told Harry, yeah, I figured it out. This is what it is, and now you're never going to get your ball back. I buried it somewhere. You'll never find it, and sucks to be you because I think you let him do that because you were enjoying torturing him.
Yeah. And what happened was is that Asta had basically told her, like, it's tough being a woman. You don't understand. We don't want to be treated this way, yada, yada, yada. Maybe you should just sit down sometimes and shut up and listen when a woman's talking to you and actually hear her or whatever. And so when she was ripping into him, the little girl, he sat down and listened and he just goes, yes, ma'am. But so he met, it's a cousin of Kate who is an astrophysicist or whatever. She works at some laboratory. And
Alex Bornstein.
Alex Bornstein. And he was first tried to talk her into going and stealing a part he needed to contact his homeland, if you will, homeworld. But ultimately what he did was is he used one of his balls to turn himself into her and made her unconscious. And then Asta, of course, found out about it. So he went to the lab to steal the component. And then her boss, like, made the moves on him. And made an unwelcome advance, if you will. And he just beat the shit out of him. And I loved we got the wide angle and the guy just being thrown back and forth. And Alex Bornstein did a great job walking and acting like, you know, Harry, quote unquote. So I enjoyed and appreciated that. Let's see here. What else we got?
What else do we got?
Well, I know we got the Peacemaker. We got Peacemaker. And we got Book of Boba Fett's finale. Is that the only two shows?
I think so. I will say with I just wanted to throw this in there because I had myself on mute, apparently. With Resident Alien, I would love to see more of Alex Borstein's character, but I think she was just a one-off. She felt very one-off-ish. Yeah, but yeah. I would love to see more of her. I like her anyway. But she's off doing the Marvelous Miss Maisel, so, and Family Guy. We caught up on some Doctor Who. We watched the two-parter Army of the Dead and Doomsday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Combo. Good combo.
Yep. Yep. And now just to drive it home, I have my two monitors set up so that on one side it's Rose leaning against the wall and on the other side it's the Doctor. And Julia does not approve.
Why?
Because it's heartbreaking and tragic.
She's not.
No. So last night, for Valentine's, we sat down with some homemade enchiladas, which were delicious, using some nice fake Cajun chicken. And we watched The Runaway Bride.
The Julia Roberts movie?
No, the Doctor Who Christmas episode with Catherine Tate as Donna Noble.
Yes. Okay. That was so good.
Yes. It was phenomenal. I love the way that they played off each other. I love that it was almost unintelligible at points because of their two distinct accents. Like, his accent really comes out when he's around her. So listening to the two of them, she had such great presence on the show. Calling him a Martian constantly and bossing him around. And they also, like, the end of it when he's like, hey, you could come with me. And she's like, no, I can't. And she talks about how he basically was killing all the Rachnids and the Empress. And he had no remorse in his eyes. And she was like, you scare the hell out of me. And I wouldn't feel comfortable being with you. And you need to find somebody. And he's like, oh, I don't need anybody. And she's like, yeah, you really do. And, you know, this was the first time that we see that kind of thing. And I mentioned that to Julia. I was like, you know, he does need somebody. She's like, oh, I could tell that. Absolutely. So it was a great episode. It was a great kind of it was a good palate cleanser after watching Doomsday and, you know, seeing Rose and her family basically trapped in the other world forever.
Yeah. Kind of sad. Yep.
Yeah. And I told her, you know, next we start with Martha Jones, and because you could see all the still images for the next season. And I was like, that's the new companion. She's like, yeah, I figured. And I said, that's Martha Jones. Most people don't like her. Most people, she's their least favorite. I liked her for what it was. But I started like looking down through the episodes and I'm like, oh, there's the family of blood. Oh God. There's three in a row. It's I can't remember the first part of it, but it's that two-parter with the family blood in the end. And then it goes right into Blink.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've got some good ones coming up here.
Peacemaker, stop dragging my heart around.
Who?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got to ask you this, and then I hope you continue to expound upon it. But up until this point, we've kind of gotten hints that Chris is responsible for killing his brother.
Yes.
We finally find out how that happened. Were you disappointed?
No, I wasn't, because it was a tragic accident.
Yes.
They were kids, and like, I don't know how they were, 10 and 12, 12 and 14, whatever. And basically their racist white supremacist father forced them to have bare knuckle fights with each other for the enjoyment of him and his friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not just the enjoyment. He bet on them. He had people betting.
Yeah. And clearly it's something they had done several times before, because like when they were, oh, come on boys, let's go. When he brought him outside to force them to do it, they were like, all right, let's do it. Like, they've done this 100 times. You know what I mean? And, you know, Peacemaker happened to punch his brother just right, and kid had a seizure and died.
Yep.
So it's tragic because he accidentally killed his brother, but mm-hmm. it was because of him and his brother being forced to fight. And here's the thing, like, it's an odd comparison. Like, I grew up with divorced parents, right? I grew up with divorced parents and spent time in two different homes and was abused. I'm not going to say the word abused. Fuck that. I got hit a lot. And that was normal. My dad was an alcoholic and took me to bars. That was normal. I didn't know any different.
Right.
Right. So to these two, this is normal. They don't know any yes. different. This is just what people do.
You are correct.
You know, my daughter made the comment tonight about like how she was so surprised that so many of her classmates have never been to Chick-fil-A, never had Chick-fil-A before. And Kate was like, well, honey, that's because it's in Bangor and people just don't drive to Bangor to go eat a fast food restaurant. Mm-hmm. She's like, what are you talking about? Of course they do. And they plan trips around it and they make sure when they go on vacation, they stop on the way up and the way back. You know what I mean? Like, and Kate's like, no, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Is we make it a point to do that because that's what we like. And to my daughter, like, that's normal. That's what people do. Like, what do you mean you haven't been there? I go multiple times a year. Like, people don't mm-hmm. go to Bangor multiple times a year, you know, like it's just not a thing. Mm-hmm. So to her, that's just how, what you do. There's nothing strange or weird or odd or wrong about that. And she has some friends that just literally never leave Kennebec County.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, that's odd, but I don't know. So anyways, my point being is that's how he and his brother were raised. To him, he didn't know any different. Oh, we're going to fight now. Okay. No big deal. You know, like when he punched his brother, he was just like, oh, I got you good, man. Like, mm-hmm. and he was, you know, and he wasn't being violent or vicious. He didn't get carried away and just keep punching his brother. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they were, you know, their dad was standing there with sticks hitting them, telling them to fight each other and they didn't want to fight each other. Like, they were like, right. Oh, OK, this is what we're doing now.
Well, they were also that age. Like that yeah. age, kids love to fight, you know, they're going to fight anyway. So this was like, you know, usually the adults are trying to break you up. They're like, hey, stop that. Cut it out. So for them, this was great. They're like, fuck yeah, we get to do this. And we're encouraged. Like, everyone liked them. Everybody was watching them. So, yeah, you're right. It was absolutely normal to them. And to the rest of us, it's like, oh, my God, that's tragic. Oh, that's barbaric. And they were like, no, this is life.
What did you think? Were you disappointed with it?
You know, I was disappointed at first because I was like, I was expecting it to be some kind of big tragic, like his brother was going to follow in the family's footsteps and Chris took him out, you know, to stop him from being evil. Or it was going to be something like, you know, they were in war together and his brother died heroically. And, you know, Chris, you know, he knocked Chris out of the way to take a bullet for him or something. And his dad always blamed. I thought it was going to be one of those type of tragic stories. So when I saw that it was like an accident as kids, I was like, that's lame. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, that's actually even better. Like, because A, it's not typical, and B, it sets up a much more dynamic tragedy story for you because, you know, he literally killed his brother. Yes, it was the seizure / hemorrhage that did him in, but for all intents and purposes, his punch is what put the kid down.
And his dad blamed him.
Yep.
That's the other thing. His dad blamed him, and so he's carried that blame with him his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I didn't see, I straight away was just like, oh fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that reveal. All right. So Vigilante and Peacemaker, Eagly and Diebeard. And did you know Diebeard's going to be at the Bangor Toy and Comic Show in April this year?
I did not know that.
Yep. Anyways, they're going to head out to go kill the cow.
Yep.
And along the way, they are Augie, or, you know, the White Dragon and his followers are tracking him through Peacemaker's helmets that his dad's made him. He has tracking mm-hmm. devices in all of them.
Which makes sense.
Because White Dragon's going to kill Peacemaker. That's what he's going to do now. So we have a big fight between Vigilante and White Dragon and Peacemaker and Economus or Diebeard and all the White Dragon's henchmen and everything. And a lot of people get killed. And then ultimately at the end, Peacemaker kills his dad.
Because like the catalyst for it, don't forget, was that his dad punched Eagly and looked like he killed him.
Yes, that's right. His dad punched Eagly and
he thought that he was dead.
Yeah. And Peacemaker had and then while he had the gun on him, is basically dad was calling him a pussy and whatever and this and that, and you're not gonna do it because you don't have any balls and da 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 da, and then he shot him in the head.
Yep.
And then Peacemaker drops and he's crying because at the end of the day, it's still his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crying. And this was fucking hilarious to me when Vigilante says, awful strange time to be doing your face exercises. But I mean, I guess to have a jawline like yours, you got to just do them whenever you can. And Connors is like, he's crying, you asshole.
Yeah.
And Vigilante's like, oh. Well,
don't forget his dad too said to him, like he kept saying, you're a pussy, you'll never shoot me. And he's like, I control you. I will always control you. Even if you kill me, I will control you.
Yeah.
And so that also just broke him. Cause he was like, I'm never going to escape his shadow.
Yep. No, you're right. Hardcore and, Adebayo there. They're packing up to leave or whatever. And Hardcore confronts her about planning the diary. Mm-hmm. And this is where she finally tells Hardcore that Waller's my mom. Okay? Waller's my mom. And Hardcore's pissed off because she feels like she's just been played the whole time and this and that. And that's when, you know, Hardcore kind of finds out that Peacemaker was nothing more than the Patsy. He was going to be the John Wilkes Booth, but the Lee Harvey Oswald, you know, which probably a lot of people say was also the John Wilkes Booth, by the way. But like he was going to be the Patsy, the guy with the gun, this and that and everything. And this just further drives home what a tremendously, enormously giant piece of shit Amanda Waller is.
Oh, yes.
You know, this continues to drive that point home.
Yeah, that woman is insanely shitty.
Yeah, so they go see Mern. But in the meantime and in between time, the police, who are all taken over now, go track down Hardcore and Ebeneo to try to stop them and Mern. Mern knew that she was Waller's daughter, by the way.
I love that. He's like, yeah, you think I wouldn't do a background check on everybody that I work for?
Hardcore's pissed off because in her mind, they're a team no matter what. And, you know, you don't betray your team. And that's what she did was betray the team. So the butterfly police and whatnot show up and Mern gets them to leave to try to hold them off. And he gets killed. And the butterfly comes out of him. And that's when, like, Goth there realizes, oh, that's who you are. And he kind of crushes the butterfly and throws it on the ground. And then they take off again to head to the cow. And, it's a weird moment where Hardcore picks up the butterfly. And they're, like, hold hands as the butterfly dies. That used to be Mern.
Yep.
They get a call from somebody and essentially Abadeo and I can't even fucking say her name and Hardcore head over to a veterinarian clinic where Eagly has been saved and Vigilante is there with Diebeard and he's like going to kill the staff that they forced to save Eagly.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how they just have a very, very like frank discussion about how we can't really kill them because of what's going on. You know, they didn't do anything wrong, but they know who we are. It doesn't matter. We just can't kill them. Let's just tie them up. Well, then let's not use duct tape. It'll hurt their skin as they peel it off. And Diabir's like, oh, wait, hold on a second. You're here willing to just murder them for no reason, but yet you're concerned about duct tape affecting their skin. He just goes, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, like, Abadir sees Eagly hugging Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I just saw an eagle. I just saw a fucking eagle hug a man. Like,
she says that to her wife, and she's like, I think it might be a sign. Her wife's like, a sign of what?
She's like,
she doesn't have an answer.
Right, yeah. I love how we get the plan. All right, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to head to the barn. We're going to kill this cow, yada, 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 yada. And my favorite part is when they're going around the room after, and everyone's like, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. Like, the vet people are like, I'm in. It's like, well, like, no, you can't go with us. Well, you guys are going to need all the help you're going to need to stop this. Like, they're all on board to help them. No, no, we're just going to tie you up, but we do have to borrow your van. So, like, they take the mobile vet clinic, whatever, and they tie them all up. And I like when they pull away, and I don't know what they said, but the doctor was like, they got a lot of problems they got to work out between each other, something like that. I don't know.
He said, they're pretty nice people overall. And
oh, yes.
He goes, yeah, except for the one in blue. And he goes, yeah, he's got some serious problems.
Yes, yes, exactly. But it's interesting because, like, they head off to go kill the cow, and Peacemaker's talking to, you know, Atabe or whatever, confesses what she did. And Peacemaker's like, yeah, I figured it, but we're going to get through this, finish this mission off, but our friendship's over. And that seems to really hurt her, which, well, it should.
Yeah.
So
he's like, I never want to see your face again. And she's like,
yeah. Mm. I really like this show a tremendous amount. And I love the opening credits. Like, I never skip them.
Never.
Never, never skip them. Like, I just love the opening credits to this show. Like, it really is just. This is the best DC property that they've done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Done. Yeah. And I guess last show is going to be. Book of Boba Fett. And before we break it down, just in general, what did you think?
In general?
If you were to two-word sum it up.
Two words, okay.
Or four-word sum it up, just briefly. Of the finale.
Yep. I'm trying to craft it properly in my head. I would say how about this? Here's three words. Where was Fennec?
Okay, that's a good one.
That was my question through the whole thing. So go ahead.
Mine would be my summation would be didn't live up to the hype.
Did or didn't?
Did not.
Okay. I would agree.
I thought that this was
leaned on Mandalorian.
Oh, heavy. Yeah, heavy.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go on.
No, it's okay. I thought that it so we're building to war. We're going to war. And then all the locals turned on them as well. But the total amount of locals and pikes that came in for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, what, 50 people?
Yeah.
Like, there was not a big army anywhere in this. No. Like, there was no big armies, period, in this. And, I mean, that's fine. But it just, the way they talked about what we were going to get and then what we get, like, it was kind of anticlimactic in that sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like when he went and got the Rancor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he just go get Slade One?
Right.
And come back and just wreck everything.
Probably would have done less damage.
You know, and I realized they basically, well, here's the other thing. They basically said, oh, the Scorponok droid's there, right? They have the force fields. We couldn't get through them with our blasters, and like even the dark saber wouldn't cut through. But the dark saber cut through later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. The Rancor's pushing down on them, so maybe there was some. I don't know. I just I had issues. You know, yes. As a whole, I enjoyed the series. My favorite moments of the series, though, were episodes 5 and 6, realistically, which was the Mandalorian parts of it. I realize this is all a giant setup. We're definitely going to get Book of Boba Fett, you know, season 2, I'm assuming. But I just, yeah.
So I felt that the, like, when I say leaned on the Mandalorian, this show would have been nothing if they didn't have the Mandalorian. Like, you call that what it will. You know, you could say that Empire Strikes Back would have been nothing without A New Hope. And it would be a valid argument. You know, just jumping into the Empire Strikes Back, you'd be like, okay, this is cool, but I don't care about most of this stuff. If you didn't have A New Hope before that. So it could be a valid argument if you're trying to say that this whole world is interconnected and leaning on each other. We were never given to that, though. This was not, like, each one of them is supposed to be its own thing. The Mandalorian and the Book of Boba Fett. These are two separate shows that we saw Boba Fett in The Mandalorian, and he kind of backdoored his way into his own show, which is great. But this was supposed to be all about Boba Fett. And for the first several episodes, it was just about Boba Fett and trying to, you know, calm the people and take over the town and blah, blah, blah. It didn't get good until we brought the Mandalorian back in. And like I said, you know, the best episode of Boba Fett so far has been the one that was just an episode of the Mandalorian. It had nothing to do with Boba Fett except for that little tag at the end there with Fennec.
Yeah.
So this one, this episode, like, the only parts that anyone cared about were the Mandalorian parts, and that's sad. Like, it should have been that we were all excited about seeing him ride a Rancor, because remember, they dropped that one little throwaway line that said, you know, nobody can ride a Rancor, you know, they have to be trained and blah, blah, blah. So that should have been a big thing, but it was overshadowed by the fact that halfway through the fight, the lady mechanic there shows up with Grogu. And that was it. The show was just about Grogu and the Mandalorian again. And it even, that's how the show ended, was with them. It wasn't ending with Boba Fett. It was ending with the two of them taking off.
This is true.
So this show, like, it knew what it was and it knew what it wasn't. And it wasn't the Mandalorian. So it, and I know they shot all of them at the same time. So it's impossible to, you know, be cynical enough to say, oh, they saw that the ratings were tanking, so they brought in Mandalorian. No, I think that they didn't have enough stories for Boba Fett by himself. And they were like, well, fuck, we've already got the Mandalorian and Cobb Vance. We could bring them into the fold. But like you said, you know, even after all that with the Swoop Gang and everything, there was like a dozen people that were the army there to help them out. We got to see Chris Santhan get taken down and then, you know, apparently drag himself up and walk down the street, dragging those guys behind him, get shot like a dozen times, showing how much of a badass he was. That was cool. But again, the focus was show me what's happening to the Mandalorian and Grogu.
Right. And that's what people wanted to see. But again, like you said, this was filmed all at the same time. So it's not like, oh, we're losing the ratings. We need to, you know, jump the territory and get him back on the show. No, this was all filmed and done and in the can before the first episode aired.
Yeah. So they planned it this way.
Yeah. I didn't really see a lot of people being pissed off over Bane being killed. Did you see anything?
I did not, and I'm surprised at that. I thought more people would be like, fuck that, he's a cool character.
Yeah, I saw, like, the dumbass, dumb fan edits where they, like, made his chin a little smaller and changed his flesh tone slightly in color.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing about him being killed by Fett.
Nope.
We do see Vanth in the back of tank with that mod artist waiting as the PS scene. So.
Yep.
Vanth is still alive, which is good because we love Timothy Olyphant in this house.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I thought overall the fight itself wasn't great. The war wasn't great, you know, like, because Star Wars, the name war is in the title.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it is.
And we've seen some pretty epic wars on multiple Star Wars movies,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially Rogue One.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And for a show that spent six episodes building towards a war, or we're going to war, it wasn't much of a war.
Like something that was so epic that two Hutts abandoned the planet because they didn't want to get involved.
Yes. Thank you. I didn't forget that, but that further drives home the fact that this was not the war they hyped for six episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. This was supposed to be the epic war. And instead it was like the most action that we saw out of this was those two, enhanced droidekas that came out there and were stomping through the town and destroying everything in sight. Great. Super. Give us something more than that. You know,
like they didn't like the Pikes didn't have more. Yeah. Like you said, they didn't have more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, we see Grogu, but we don't know if he accepted the armor or the lightsaber. We didn't see the lightsaber this episode. We didn't see the armor either, though.
Yes, we did.
Did we? I don't remember seeing it.
Yep, because at one point, right after the Mandalorian gets him, he's like, you need to stay out of trouble, you know, stay away from here. You'll get killed. And he pulls down the little robe and he goes, oh, you're wearing the armor, because he's wearing a little chainmail suit under it.
I guess this is why we never saw Grogu in the Star Wars universe after this. That's going to be the explanation, because he didn't go with the Force.
Maybe he'll end up inheriting the
Jedi.
Yeah, maybe he'll end up inheriting the Darksaber.
I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
I half expected, like, when Mando got knocked over, I half expected when Grogu got out there and put his hand up that he was pulling the Darksaber to himself and that he was going to then fight the Rancor with it, but instead he just put it to sleep.
We got that nice King Kong movement in the movie. Yeah, but, yeah, he put him to sleep.
So. Yeah, put him to sleep, took a little nap next to him, because, he was pooped too.
Fett's walking around town after, and the people are, like, saluting him. So.
But it pisses him off because he's like, why does it have to be the right arm? That's the one that's injured.
I'm a cranky old man. Well, why don't you get in the back of the tank? Well, it's being utilized. And then credits, and then post credit, we see Banth. So
apparently Bacta tanks are very expensive because, like, he told Chrysanthan he could get in it, but he, didn't get him in there. Instead, he just gave it to Timothy Oliphant. Must have been pretty expensive, Couldn't afford like two of them, maybe three.
Probably it is very expensive. Very expensive.
Super.
Movies. I watched four movies.
Whoa.
Yeah, but one was new, which I watched by accident, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on the old HBO Max, and I was like, Kimmy. Well, what's this synopsis? And I clicked on it to go to the next screen to read the synopsis, but instead it just played the movie. Mm. And I said, well, I guess I'm invested now.
Okay.
89 minutes. Zoe Kravitz is the lead star. She's
Kimmy?
Interesting. No, she's not.
Okay.
Kimmy is the movie's version of an Alexa. And her job is to, like, when someone says, like, hey, Kimmy, and Kimmy, basically when Kimmy generates an error file, because of what the person's asked them, it gets sent to one of these technicians who then listens to what the person asked and then, like, programs in a fix for the Kimmy to know in the future or to understand.
Gotcha.
In the future. And she hears something. And then has to take action. I'll leave it at that. Short movie. I enjoyed it. It's worth your time.
Okay.
89 minutes long, so it's like not threatening. But yeah, it's a Steven Soderbergh movie too, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. He directed it. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Did you watch any movies?
I watched two movies. We continued our trek through the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
First stop was Ant-Man.
Nice.
Fucking great movie. She loved it. At the end of it, she's like, I think that was my favorite so far. I'm like, well, we got some good ones coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
So loved Ant-Man. It is a great movie. Loved everything about it. It was fun revisiting some of those characters. Actually, I'm sorry. I loved everything about it except for Evangeline Lilly's hair. God, I hate that hair on her. But other than that, loved seeing old Hank Pym, loved seeing Scott Lang, loved the fight at the end, and the ridiculousness, you know, so many laughs when it's like, you know, the train barreling at him and it slams right into him. And then we pan back and we see that it's just, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine just kind of like falls over. Always fucking great. And so, yeah, that was highly enjoyable. We both got a lot out of that one. Then was Civil War, which is a drastic turn from Ant-Man. Like Ant-Man, which is, you know, it's got its serious moments, but for the most part, it's fun, it's light, it's happy. Civil War is none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like Civil War does have a few funny moments in it, you know, like Bucky sitting in the back seat with Sam and he's like, can you move your seat forward? And he's like, no. You know, got a good chuckle out of that, I remember. But for the most part, Civil War is very dark and represents the first, split up of the heroes. It's interesting watching it now after knowing everything else that's coming, including the TV series. Very interesting. The airport fight scene was just great, as usual. It was a very fun time. I'd forgotten that this was where they also introduced Black Panther. I was so focused on them introducing Spider-Man that I forgot this was also that.
Yep.
There was a lot in this movie. They really packed a lot in. But yeah, still a great movie, still phenomenal, dark ending. But yeah, so yeah, Julia's thoughts on that one were that it was very dark. She enjoyed it, but it just... she didn't like seeing all the heroes like going after each other. They're supposed to be heroes, you know. So I get it. Next up is Homecoming, followed by Doctor Strange, followed by Ragnarok.
I can't wait for you to get to Ragnarok.
I know. The guy at work that she works with, she'll tell him, you know, oh, we watch this. And he's like, oh, I can't wait for you to get to Ragnarok. It's my favorite. And I'm like, see, this guy knows.
Yep, he knows.
I will also say, when we went to visit her family on Saturday, they were talking about Marvel movies. And she was like, oh, I just watched Ant-Man. And they're like, I don't know. And she's got an 11-year-old nephew, a 5-year-old nephew, and her brother-in-law is probably like 35 or something. So they're all talking about them. And you know me and spoilers. And I'm like, yeah, so she's up to Ant-Man. We haven't watched Civil War yet. And her brother-in-law is like, oh, I just watched Infinity War this morning. We should watch Endgame. Yeah, let's watch Endgame. And they're like, no, I don't want to watch Endgame. And he's like, look, come on, let's watch Endgame. And I was like, we're not watching Endgame. She's not that far yet. And he's like, oh, all right, we won't do that. And then they start talking Spider-Man and everything that's going on in the Spider-Man universe. And I'm like, you guys need to shut up. Like, spoilers here, you know?
So have you had the new Spider-Man movie ruined for you?
No. They were talking about Far From Home and Homecoming, and then talking about like Amazing Spider-Man 2. They put on the Sam Raimi original Spider-Man, which fucking classic. It was great. Mm-hmm. It is so weird though, seeing Joe Manganiello as Flash Thompson. Like he's almost unrecognizable. He's so young and baby-faced in that. And now you look at him and you're like,
is.
Shit. But that movie just reeks of Sam Raimi, and I fucking loved every minute of it. I was quoting the dialogue as it's coming up on the screen, and yeah. So.
All right. I was afraid for a minute there they ruined the new Spider-Man.
No. I don't think that any of them have seen it yet. So.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
You've only got 2 weeks.
I know, and we're crunching, but that's the thing is, like I said, you know, this week I'm sure that this week we will get through Homecoming and Doctor Strange. I'm hoping to also do Ragnarok, but it'll depend. Then it's just Infinity War, Endgame, and then we're in the home stretch, you know, Far From Home. And then from there on, honestly, it doesn't even, like, we wouldn't even need to really do Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. Like, we can watch it, but it's not going to be critical to the plot.
You don't need to watch Shang-Chi or the Eternals before you watch Spider-Man.
That's what I figured. So
no, you can go back and watch those at some point. Yep. But excuse me, and I know you already skipped Black Widow because you both had seen it, but you definitely don't need to watch Shang-Chi or the Eternals to watch Spider-Man.
We're skipping even Black Panther as well because crunch for time, and you know, we want to get to ones that she hasn't seen yet. So she's seen both Black Widow and Black Panther.
Yeah, that's probably a good call.
Yep. What else did you watch?
Is that all your movies?
Yep.
All right, so the other three movies I watched The Night Stalker from 1972. It's wow. The Kolchak. Carl mm-hmm. Kolchak, The Night Stalker, was the made-for-TV movie. They got a 48 share the night it aired in 1972, which is crazy to think about. And then I watched The Night Strangler, which
okay.
is the sequel to The Night Stalker.
I assumed.
Yep, and that came out literally a year later. And again, it's 90 minutes, and it is 1973, and it's I enjoyed it. It's a good flick, made for TV movie, got a huge rating. And then after that, they did make the Night Stalker TV series, which was then called Kolchak, The Night Stalker. And I am going to start watching that series as well. It was Chris Carter, you know, Kolchak, The Night Stalker was what inspired Chris Carter to kind of, as he called it, a tremendous influence on The X-Files.
Okay.
In fact, he even tried to get Darren McGavin to play Kolchak, Carl Kolchak, mm-hmm. on the X-Files, but he wouldn't.
Is that why he had a character named Krychek?
Nope.
I like the pause there for just a moment, then you're like, nope.
Threw me off. But he did play a character named Arthur Dales in two episodes of the X-Files.
Okay. Yeah.
And Arthur Dales was one of the founders of the X-Files, kind of. So
gotcha.
That was kind of neat. And then on the X-Files itself, in the reboot seasons,
mm-hmm.
The Were-Lizard, our favorite episode there.
Yeah.
It's not called the Were-Lizard, but anyways.
The Were-Human.
The Were, yeah. Sorry, it's episode, that was in season 10, episode 3, Mulder and Scully meet the Were-Monster. That's the one that has the actor in it.
Riz Darby?
Yeah, Riz Darby is dressed as Kolchak from The Night Stalker when he's a human.
Gotcha.
That's his whole outfit, the hat, the jacket, the whole deal is based on Carl Kolchak and The Night Stalker. So
nice.
And then the other movie I watched was the 1976, The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Johnny had come over and he had never seen it. And I had just gotten it on Blu-ray. So we were going to watch that. We watched that. And then we were going to watch the 2014, I believe it is, sequel, which is also called The Town That Dreaded Sundown. And mm-hmm. He had not seen that either, but he was kind of tuckered out. So he went home. So we're going to watch that some other time.
Okay.
I enjoy the movie. It's the movie came out in 76, I believe it is. Yeah. And it's based on the true murders that happened in Texarkana, right on the Texas-Arkansas line border in 1946 of this masked killer that are still unsolved to this day.
Okay.
So it's based on a true story, but it's also there's obviously some fictionalization in there. Mm-hmm. And the sequel does a brilliant job tying in the original movie, treating the original movie as a documentary, if you will. Like it's just done really, really well.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's all the movies I watched.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think so. Trailers and stuff.
Trailers and news.
Yeah, let's
there was quite a bit of it. I tried to collect my notes as best as I can because we jumped around. Like I was sending you stuff on Instagram and on Messenger.
Yes.
There were a number of things. I think the last thing that we should talk about is the Doctor Strange trailer, because I want to dedicate some time to that.
Okay. So you sent me a trailer to The Dropout.
Yes. It's
going to be a miniseries.
Yep, which it's interesting because they already had a documentary style movie done on HBO years back.
And there about was a podcast as well.
Yep. Yep. So it seems weird. And I know that basically it's the timing because she finally went to trial and the trial just got done. So now they're trying to capitalize on it again. But it just seems weird because it all happened so long ago. And Amanda Seyfried as her. No. No, Amanda Seyfried's a good actress, but this woman was psychotic. Like, she would sit there and just not blink during interviews and during testimonies. Like, she's just fucking psychopathic. And I feel like Amanda Seyfried does have those giant golem eyes, but at the same time, I can't see her being Elizabeth. I don't know.
Kate McKinnon was actually set to play Elizabeth Holmes.
That's right. That's right. I remember that. And then she dropped out. I think I would have liked that better.
I as well. You sent me some news about a rookie spinoff. Backdoor pilot they're going to do next season with two episodes. And it's basically the FBI, the rookie, where there's the oldest FBI rookie and whatever.
Niecy Nash will be playing her.
Yep.
It
doesn't really do anything for me.
No.
I sent you the trailer to Jurassic World 3. What do you think of that?
That's a movie I'm not going to rush out to see. I didn't see the last one.
Really no reason to.
No.
I don't think I have either.
Nope. I didn't see the last one. I saw Jurassic World. I went, okay, I've seen that now. And
how many Chris Pratt Jurassic Park movies have there been?
There were three original, right? Because it was Jurassic Park, The Lost World, and Dino Crisis or whatever. I don't know.
But how many has he been in? Is this his third one?
Third one, yeah. Because it's Jurassic World and then Jurassic World, blah, and now Dominion.
Okay, I may have watched both of the ones he's been in.
Okay. I'm sorry, that's time you'll never get back.
Oh, well. What do you do, right?
Yep.
What do you do?
Yeah.
I sent you the poster to Morbius. That's a Glitterbox cover if I've ever seen one.
Sure is.
Terrible sure poster. Holy cow, is that fucking terrible.
Yep, I agree.
I sent you that The World Needs Heroes, the DC little 30-seconder thing where they talked about, they had little clips from the Batman, Black Adam, Flash, and Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom.
Yep.
That's kind of neat.
Yep. I'm more excited to see Black Adam than anything else on that list.
Yeah, me too.
The Batman, whatever. It's Robert Pattinson, whatever. It's not canonically part of the DC Expanded Universe, so it's just going to be another Batman movie.
Yep.
The Flash, Ezra Miller's cool, but it feels like we're retreading another story that we've already seen. And Aquaman, no thanks. The outfit just looks terrible, and I didn't really like the first movie that much.
You sent me the trailer to Nope.
Yeah, the new Jordan Peele horror-ish movie.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it. I have no fucking clue what it's about. But as
neither
I
do
said,
I.
Because it's written and directed by and produced by Jordan Peele, Nope is a yup for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just based on what he's done previously.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
He has not tarnished anything for me as of yet. So
right.
Until he M. Night Shyamalama ding-dongs me and fucks me over on a movie,
yep.
I will continue to want to see what he's putting out.
I was not a fan of Us, but it was still not enough for me to be like, oh, fuck this guy and fuck his movies.
Right, exactly. You sent me the trailer to The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, and I had actually watched it previously as well.
Yep.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies.
No.
We watched them together.
We did.
I have yet to see the Hobbit movies. I just don't have any intention to. Mm-hmm. This really, like, I'm on the fence. Like, part of me is like, you know what? I'll check out at least the first episode and see what happens from there. But, yeah, I wasn't super excited.
It's not your thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think Lord of the Rings is one of those properties that it's definitely a dividing line. Like, you're either a fan or you're not. Yep. There's a few properties out there like that. Like, Star Wars, pretty much everybody can find something that they like about it. Star Trek, I would argue, is pretty much the same. You know, there's something out there in Star Trek that pretty much everyone will like. But Lord of the Rings, I think a lot of people like it, but there's enough people that are just like, nope, there's no middle ground. Which is odd, but it's still believable. I think you muted yourself again.
Nope, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. Like I said, I'll check out the first episode at least and just go from there.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me like a teaser poster on the Instagram about Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. And then you sent me the trailer, and I went, oh, maybe not.
Yeah. I can't believe that it sounds like they got the original voice of Monterey Jack, but they decided to go with friggin' Andy Samberg and John Mulaney for Chip and Dale. They don't sound right at all.
No, they don't. They sound completely wrong, and I don't like it. It's a movie, not a series. It mm-hmm. does take place 30 years later. Mm-hmm. And like, I think Dale has had the CGI procedure, so he looks like CGI animation, and Chip did not. So he looks like the old school animation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It's going to be on Disney Plus, so I may check it out because it doesn't cost me money, but I don't know.
Yeah. I wasn't really a fan.
Yeah.
I you said, when I saw the poster, I was like, oh, neat. And then I watched the trailer and I went, oh, no.
Yep.
Like, no, it just doesn't seem good. And that's too bad because, mm-hmm. you know, I was a fan of Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I thought it was cool.
No, I was a big fan of the Disney afternoon back in the day. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck.
Yep.
Tailspin. You know.
I was intrigued at first when I saw the whole concept behind it. You know, they had like the behind the music kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, I could get into that. But no, it kind of turned out shitty.
Yeah. I sent you a news article about the new John Bernthal Punisher series is coming to Hulu.
Yeah.
Because it's going to keep its hard R style, and they don't want that under the Disney Plus.
That's right. Yep.
So. Okay. I'll watch it.
Abso-fucking-lutely. It's still going to be a Marvel product, so.
Yep. Well, it's in the MCU now.
Yep.
It's official MCU canon. And apparently, so aren't the old Netflix series, but they're all being pulled from Netflix March 1st.
Maybe they're going over to Hulu.
I would expect to see them show up on Hulu or Disney Plus at some point.
Mm-hmm. I would as well.
And then I don't have any other news or trailers other than Doctor Strange. Do you have anything?
Yep, we got a few release dates. We got the poster for Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's coming out 5/25, which is not May the 4th, but it's the anniversary of Return of the Jedi's release. So that's cool. Futurama is coming back to Hulu. They got a 10-episode order, I believe, exclusively to Hulu. It's going to pick up where the series left off after the last time it's not even rebooted. It's just coming back. So it's another comeback. It's going to pick up there. The only problem is that they've got one. They're going to recast Bender. John DiMaggio has not successfully gotten a negotiated contract with them. And apparently both sides are still trying to make it happen. But I don't know if it's that he's demanding too much money or what. All I know is that his co-stars are saying, you know, he's worth it. And he's been posting a lot on Instagram, support from followers and such, saying, you know, without John DiMaggio as Bender, we don't want Futurama. So we'll see what happens there. I love Futurama. Can't wait to see more of it. February 24th is when Law and Order comes back. So that's coming right up here. That's
yep, I'm looking forward to that.
With all the guys. I saw today, I'm super stoked about this. Netflix is going to be making a live action BioShock movie. BioShock was a first person game set in this underwater city called Rapture. Alternative history where basically somebody built a city under the sea to escape the bullshit of mankind and brought the bullshit with them. And it's just, it's creepy. And it had one of the best twists in gaming history. It was unbelievable. And, anybody who's listening, who's played the game knows exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody else, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to ruin it. If the show goes this direction, but yeah, it was fucking clutch. And to this day, it's still one of the best twists I've ever seen, right up there with, the reveal of Darth Revan, I'd say. So I'm excited they're going to do that. I think they'll probably do a pretty good job of it. I'd rather see it as a series because there's a lot that could be done in Rapture, but we'll see what they do. And other than that, oh, I had sent you this a little while ago, and I haven't really gotten any definitive proof following up on it, but I thought we should mention it. Apparently, the season finale of Legends is going to have Donald Faison in an unknown role. A lot of people are saying they think it's going to be Booster Gold, which would be wonderful, and it would make a lot of sense because Booster Gold was a time traveler. He had the same cocky swag kind of attitude that, you know, Chris Turk has. I would love to see that. That might actually pull me back to the show if
that would be cool.
Yeah, if they did a twist on that, I probably would start watching again just to see what kind of adventures they could have with Booster Gold. And I think that's about it, other than Doctor Strange.
So we got the Doctor Strange trailer, and I watched it, and then I messaged you to say you can watch it.
Which was great. I appreciated that.
Yep. No spoilers. Hey,
now,
dude,
let's spoil
the
shit out of it.
Well, what I mean is there was no Spider-Man spoilers.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, I have a whole collection of memes to send you after you've seen Spider-Man.
Excellent.
That I've been saving.
Excellent.
Okay, there's six of them, but still, they're great.
Hey, that's a collection. Two is a collection.
That's true, yeah.
So, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Holy fuck. This trailer, this is one of those trailers that just, it blew me away. There's so much going on here. Even in the poster for it, there's things like you can see in the shards of glass, different things. Like there's actually somebody zoomed in on it and Captain Carter's shield is in there. It looks like they are bringing into the fold everything from the What If series. And then some.
Yes. Yes.
There was, at first people were speculating. They were like, oh, look, there's Defender Strange and there's Zombie Strange and, you know, all these different Stranges. But if you really look at them, they almost look like the Zombie Strange is looking at himself and looking at his hand and he looks kind of shocked. It's almost as though as he's passing through the multiverse, he's taking on the role of the Strange of that universe, even though there is that one point where he's talking to what looks to be the evil Strange. So I don't know if that's going to be that, you know, Zombie Strange is his own thing or if this is him passing through and taking on like, you know, we've seen in other things that Road to the Multiverse with Family Guy, you know, where every time they entered a new universe, they took on the forms of that. We got to see America Chavez and her little star portal power that lets her rip into other dimensions. So she's going to be a major focal point. We're going to get her introduced.
Yep.
The big one, though, the holy shit moment for me, and I'm sure it was for you, too, was that one brief scene where you get to see the bald head step onto the screen and then it goes black and then you hear Patrick Stewart's voice say, should we tell him the truth?
Yeah, that pretty much made me shit my pants a little bit.
Yeah, I went, no fucking way.
Yeah.
There's like a quick flash scene in there that shows you like a wheelchair.
Yep.
And there's a quick flash scene that shows what looks to be a hover chair. The primary speculation that is the chairs that you see and the Patrick Stewart that you hear is the Illuminati. And this is the governing, the secret society dedicated to preserving the multiverse. And so this could be any number of versions of Professor Xavier. Just the fact that they're getting Jean-Luc Picard to come into this as Xavier again, like you said, shit my pants.
Yep.
Holy fuck. By the end of this movie, I can almost guarantee we are going to hear the word mutant. And it's going to be it's going to be right up there with when you know the scene that I'm going to talk about in Endgame that everybody marks out for all the time. It's going to be right up there. The fandom's going to lose their minds when we hear mutant for the first time. Traditionally,
I'm
though,
sure they are going to lose their mind. Yes.
Some Illuminati members that we've seen in the past are Reed Richards, which would be fucking fantastic. Charles Xavier. I'm blanking on them now.
Black Bolt.
Yes, Black Bolt. And they actually said that it's
Anson Mount.
Played
him on the terrible Eternals TV show. Could be in this.
Wouldn't that be fucking amazing?
Yep.
I would lose my shit. Even though, like you said, it was a terrible series, but just seeing him step out there as Black Bolt and stand on the same stage as whoever is going to be Reed Richards and Charles Xavier, fucking, oh my God, dude. This movie, and I know I've said this before and everybody said it before, this movie is going to change the face of the MCU. This is what they've been building to. This is what they've been waiting for, to be able to fold in all of those Fox properties. One of the scenes of the trailer is him and America falling out of what looks to be an animated universe. And somebody was like, I really hope fucking Deadpool comes out of that one. And I couldn't agree more. I hope we get to see Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool in this movie at some point, somehow bring him in here. I want to see him. I want to see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Just fucking bring him in there. Even if he's not going to be Wolverine anymore, bring him in because he's part of the multiverse.
I'd lose my mind if I saw that.
Oh, there's so much happening here. And it's just one of those trailers that keeps on giving. Every time you watch it, you pick up more. Oh, the only thing that I kind of laugh, but I'm also feeling sad about it, is the big creature that he's fighting is not Shumagora, because apparently some fucking obscure company owns the rights to the name Shumagora. So they had to call him like Goliath or something. It's some stupid name. They're basically getting around the naming rights. It's Shumagora, but they're not calling him Shumagora, which is tragic because Shumagora was a classic villain for Doctor Strange. But I digress. We're getting fucking Charles Xavier in some way, shape, or form. We are getting fucking Charles Xavier. I want to see Ian McKellen as Magneto. I want to know who they've got playing Reed Richards, because I'm really excited to see the Fantastic Four done right for the first time in forever.
First time ever.
Ever. Ever.
Not just forever, but ever.
Nice. And I want to see what they're going to do with Mute. I want to see if we are going to get them absolutely folded in to the MCU, and pretty soon the MCU is going to grow out of control. It's going to be insane. We've already got TV shows and movies. We're going to have more Marvel that we can handle, and it's going to be fucking great. I'm so there for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the trailer was awesome. I'm pretty excited about the movie. I really, really can't wait to watch it. We still got three Marvel movies this year.
I think so, because we had Spider-Man, we've got that one, and then what's the third one?
Hold on. We got Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love and Thunder, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Because Spider-Man No Way Home came out in December. And we got the Morbius movie still.
Yeah, which is, I mean, eh. That's it's part of it, I know, but it's tentatively, you know, it's like a stretch. We've got the Marvels in 2023. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in 2023. I thought we had, and I'm pretty sure we did.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumanium, 2023.
We've got a Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special coming, I think, this year. Because they said it was going to come out before Volume 3 does. And Volume 3, he did say, James Gunn said, this is the last time we will see this team as the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, on the TV side of things this year, we have What If Season 2.
Mm-hmm.
We have Moon Knight.
Yep.
We have She-Hulk.
Yep.
We have Ms. Marvel.
Yep.
Secret Invasion. And the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special.
And apparently we also have I Am Groot. I hadn't heard about this one, but it says 2022.
Okay.
And eventually we've got Ironheart, which it looks like Ironheart might be backdoored in Wakanda Forever.
Yep.
Or introduced, I should say.
Yeah, we got Armor Wars. James Rhodes is coming back. And then we have Echo. And we have a Wakanda series.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm looking at this Wikipedia here, and they've also listed Agatha House of Harkness, which I think I recall hearing something about that, and I'm there for that. And these are all listed as TV series. Spider-Man Freshman Year.
I think that's animated, though.
Oh, maybe it is. Marvel Zombies.
Also animated, I believe.
Yes. Oh, this is... I forgot to add this into the news, but they announced this. So, you remember how they said that they were going to reboot or bring back the 90s Marvel X-Men cartoon?
Yes.
Oh, it gets better. They're literally continuing right where the last season left off.
Yes, it's not a reboot. It's their yes. Yep.
It's a continuation. Yeah. Yep. Love it.
Yep, I'm here for that.
Yep. Otherwise, I think that's about it. You got anything else?
No, I really don't.
Okay. Well, I'd say that's a show then.
That is our show. 300 episodes.
Good
crazy. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Nice stretch, Mike.
We'll talk to you next week.